Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And then John said to Jesus,
Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us.
But Jesus said,
Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. And if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better if a great milestone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worms never die and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite the congregation to be seated. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Creator and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to start this morning, and I want to jump right into the gospel that we just heard. And I know maybe before you heard that gospel, you still had that, maybe the Bears game is coming up here. Maybe that's in the back of your mind, or maybe you've only had one cup of coffee this morning, but I am sure that that gospel wrestles you right back here into this moment. It's pretty jarring, right? Millstones and maiming and eye plucking, it's not something that we are normally thinking about. And I think that's for a pretty good reason. I think it's really hard to imagine Jesus is literally advocating for these kinds of harms to come to our body. Well, God loves us as children of God and part of God's creation. It would take some real convincing to think Jesus is truly advocating for mutilation of the body or harming ourselves as some kind of virtue. In fact, we know much of Jesus' ministry is spent healing body, mind, and soul. Jesus brought unity where there was disunity. So I think if we set that literal translation aside for a moment, and I don't mean let's go back to the coffee or the Bears game or anything else, let's think a little bit more deeply about this passage and consider what it means for us in our mission in the world. Well, Jesus has just discussed with the disciples a person who was doing ministry, but not within the sphere of those disciples, right? The disciples wanted to stop that person, but Jesus insists that they should not stop them. The scripture reads, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." Well, Jesus is reminding his disciples that the practice of faith in the world is vitally important. If it's not opposing Jesus and the teachings that Jesus brings, then it works for the good. Encouraging work between Christians is a great thing, even if they feel they are not part of the same community. Well, there's a reason these lessons come right after the other. It connects us to the latter half of the gospel, Jesus' teachings on the sick parts of the body. It's not the body as our individual physical body, but instead each one of us joined together as one body, the body of Christ. Well, the Spirit brings us into communion together, and our spirituality is something that we share. Now, we may express this in different ways, and we may reflect on it in different ways, but all that we do, all that we hope for, is that we reflect God's love and grace. We know this will look different in various contexts and communities, but our foundation, our cornerstone, remains the same. We are united as one in our faith. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. You're going to learn this one way or another. I love movies. And I often love to use movies as illustrations when I'm preaching. It's a form of art that I love. I think the medium of sound and visual is so wonderful. So this unity, right, it's something we have a deep emotional yearning for. Well, if you've ever seen the movie We Are Marshall, it came out in 2006, and it tells the true story of Marshall University and the time after a tragic plane crash, which left almost all of their football team deceased. Well, there were a few remaining players, and they were advocating to the school administration that they should continue on, field a team, and not give up their program. Well, the situation seems hopeless. There's no hope left. But one of the players, real person, Nate Ruffin, played by Anthony Mackin, walks over to the window of the crowded conference room overlooking the school, and he gestures for the administrators to join him. Well, the screen pops out, and there are hundreds of Marshall students who have gathered outside in support of continuing this football program. They all begin to chant in unison, "We are Marshall." Now, I don't have any connection to Marshall University. I wasn't around during this time, but that moment in that movie still brings me to tears. It's because it captures something deeper than what is just being depicted in the moment. There's hope. Hope in what comes from being yoked together. Hope that comes from being in community. Even when there is tragedy, there is hope when we stand together. Well, this hope is felt so deeply when we truly engage our siblings in Christ. We are one body in Christ. Our faith binds us together, and we can do more ministry together than any one of us can do alone. All of our skills add to the work of sharing the gospel. It's for the better that these skills are not exactly the same. And I think it's tempting to become self-conscious or suspicious when we see others practicing their faith in different ways, when we turn our hearts towards celebrating our different gifts. and we empower one another, surely we are truly living into a united church. And no, that doesn't mean we're going to have to pack these pews. We don't all have to be in the same building or listen to the same kind of worship music. But we work together to meet each person in this world where they are at in their faith journey. So Jesus wants to encourage us to work together, but we know he also has another lesson. When we become ill, we know we don't magically get better. Our illness must be treated. Sometimes our bodies can provide that treatment alone, but oftentimes we need more to recover when we suffer from disease. Jesus recommends in the strongest language that we be truly wary of things that can harm the body of Christ. Jesus goes to the most extreme measure to say how important it is not to trip up those who are on their faith journey, the little ones like young Emmett, but all of us. When violence replaces love, intolerance replaces mercy, or exclusivity replaces welcome, the church is working against what Jesus calls us to, the nurturing of Christian community and faith. We are called to speak out against these ills and model how our faith leads us into love for our neighbor and for creation. We are called to speak out when we witness these stumbling blocks being laid out and welcome those with open arms who have been hurt by them. These lessons are important ones that Jesus is teaching us to encourage work between people of faith and to nurture people on their faith journey instead of being a barrier to them. So where does this leave us as we continue to consider our relationship with creation? I think this is something that we all wrestle with. The destruction of God's creation caused by sin weighs heavy on the hearts of many. We feel downtrodden, and the future can feel hopeless. Pastor Jason last week referenced studies that show many young people feel despair when they think about the ways our environment is being damaged and what that means for the future. I think in our culture, we feel really fed up with platitudes and inaction, and rightfully so, we've had a lot of these. But this means our instinct is to look for action. Where can we be the catalyst for a tangible change? I want to make a meaningful difference right now. When we hold that tension of despair, it is important to go back to our source of hope. We heard in our lesson, James writes about prayer and how powerful prayer can be. We know that prayer is not like a slot machine, right? A coin can't just be put in and hope that comes out is a reward. No, prayer brings us into a deeper spirituality and a closer relationship with Christ. Those spiritual disciplines and practices have a great and a lasting power as they inform the way we interact with the world around us. We have many different kinds of spiritual practices that speak to us as individuals. But bringing us into a space, all of these practices can bring us into a space where we are in deeper community with Christ, creation, and one another. These disciplines can offer us a radical sense of hope. That our God is bigger than any challenge the world creates. That hope in this world still abounds. No matter where you are in your prayer life, I challenge you this week to hold a moment and pray for creation and for the hope for our future. That the structures of power can be moved to protect creation from destruction. That those who feel despair about the future find hope. That both guilt that comes from our inaction or the overwhelming stress and wear that comes from our action both be healed. That the sun rise and set again on a world yearning to be filled with love and care and mercy. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we come to you and we remember. Remember how important it is to be reflective and to take time to sit with you. We ask for guidance, but let this be a time merely to receive it. Allow us to sense the connective tissue of this world, you who bind us together in love. Bring us solace and rest in a world so desperately in need of care. When we go out from these times with you, dear Lord, keep us in the knowledge and feeling of your unending mercy and grace. God, go with us into the world, yearning to be in harmony once again, and pouring ourselves into the relationships we have now and the hope for all that is to come. Amen.